This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 537. I am Brian Kilby. Today is September 20th, 2017, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's a beautiful day for neighbor.
Would you be mine?
I'm pointing you, Diecast. Would you be my neighbor?
Come and knock on my door.
I don't know where to go with that. Okay.
So, hey, those are so far on the end of the sitcom spectrum, it's like it hurts.
I don't get it, but I just...
Three's Company.
Come and knock on my door. Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's Three's Company.
So, like, the way I'm looking at you guys right now, of course, you're on Skype. So, you're in quadrants. But if this were a couple more blocks, this would be like the Brady Bunch. It would be the saddest Brady Bunch, basically, you can imagine.
I get to be Alice.
I nominate Don as Alice.
Don is Alice. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
I'm the only one with any common sense.
I would not say that. Matt, you good?
Yeah,
so pretty good. Rob, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Don says he's the only one with common sense.
But my common sense is not real common sense. It's Don common sense. So there's a difference.
It's Don sense.
And I'm drinking delicious orange cream flavored water.
That sounds
which really encapsulates that whole not real common sense thing.
So it would be Donna nonsense.
Yes. Donna nonsense. Donna na na. Donna na na.
Hey. Okay. I'm sick and on Tuesday packs, so anything is possible.
Yeah. So, it sounds like Chris is a little sick too.
Has plugged up a little bit.
Matt, were you sick? I thought somebody else was sick. I guess not.
I'm sick.
Oh, Rob's sick. Gosh. It is that time of year.
See, and if Don was at HasCon, he would have said this is the con crud.
Yeah.
No. This is just basically changing weather and sinus infection because, after the show last week, everything just drained down the back of my throat, which just, hate that.
For those of us in North America, summer's ending. And for those of you in, Northern Hemisphere, for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, congratulations, spring is coming. So that's something. Hey, actually, one thing to point out, I got a note on Facebook yesterday, and I closed out the show notes. But are you guys familiar, some of you are at least anyway, with Realm of Collectors?
Yes.
I've heard of the name.
It's a fans group, I think. They're primarily on Rob Springer's on Instagram, right? So it's sort of outside of my knowledge set is the Instagram stuff, but they have a podcast and things like that. And one thing they're doing, which I think is awesome, is they're doing a toy drive for people affected by the hurricanes in Florida and Texas. So basically, they are taking donations at TFCon. So if you're going to be there, you can donate. They also have an address to send it to. I'll make sure a link is in the show notes that links out to the document that they shared, the poster that has all that information on it. It's a lot of stuff, but they are working on helping people out. So I think that's great. Toy drive for the people affected, kids.
Cool. And their Facebook and YouTube.
But yeah, so they're helping kids out. And that's really important, especially with all the stuff going on right now. Hey, so our 18th anniversary is coming up. We'll have our 18th anniversary show on October 11th, 2017. And to celebrate, we're going to have some contests. We have one up right now where you can win a Headmaster Don autographed.
I thought we were going to win a Headmaster Don.
Well, you can't.
Yeah, but I won't
win
the box. Owns
Headmaster Don.
Shipping would be expensive on that.
But
now, Brian, I'm gonna ask you, since you're announcing the contest and I'll be signing it, are we gonna sign it and then ship it, or do you want to announce the winner?
Oh, see if they want it personalized.
Exactly.
It'll just be Headmaster Don autograph because I'll bring it to TFCon and you can sign it there.
Okay, that's what I thought we were gonna do, but I didn't know if you wanted me to personalize it after the winner's announced or what.
Well, how about this? If the are we announcing the winner before TFCon?
No.
Well, never mind. I was going to say if the winner's at TFCon, like, have it done in person and can be personalized that way, but I guess it won't work, will it?
We need Don to sign that as quick as possible, because we never know when Massey's going to attack him for the last time.
Well, y'all don't want Don to sign it. No, you want Don to sign it quick, because he might accidentally put his phone number or social security number or something on it, too, if he takes too long.
Yeah. Hey, Don, can you sign it? When you sign it, can you put your credit card on it, just so I have it?
Yeah, I'll be glad to. There's nothing left on it, and it's maxed out, but sure, I'll be glad to.
We'll wait.
Just like you're waiting for your Christmas gift. Check Twitter.
Check Twitter.
Just like I'm waiting for, never mind.
So, okay. I need some more caffeine. Let me solve that real quick. Hey,
caffeine is great.
I love caffeine. My God.
Yeah. I'll spoil it for you, Chris. It's Captain Proton ship from Eagle Moss, so you can thank me later.
I prefer to wait for the gritty reboot version by J.J. Abrams.
That's funny. But yeah, so...
Oh, hey, guys. Breaking news real quick.
Okay.
If you go through tfradio.com/Amazon right now, Combiner Wars G2 Bruticus is currently $25.
Holy crap.
It is entirely worth that.
So. Yes. Go. Go get one.
Wait, what toy is that?
G2 Bruticus.
Yeah.
Where at?
Amazon.
Really?
And if you would, please use the Amazon link from the TF Radio homepage. It would help out.
Yeah, it would.
Yes, it would.
Yes. Okay. But we'll have more contests between now and then. I'm just honestly trying to figure out what they're going to be. I've only had the one figured out. So, okay. What else we got going on this week?
I also have a contest if we want to mention that.
No. Yeah, of course. What do you got going on?
It's for Transformers Earth Wars patch. It's a Decepticon patch. And all you have to do is go to my Facebook page, Reviews by Diecast, and leave a comment in the thread with the picture of the patch. And I'm going to draw a winner next Monday on the 25th.
Very cool. Very cool. It's a really nice patch.
Yes.
It's like Patch Adams, but not terrible. I don't know where I was going with that. Hey, TFCon USA is next week.
Yay. Yes, it is.
I can't believe it.
So 9 days.
Not being in town here and being somewhere else.
Being somewhere else is usually pretty good.
Yeah. Being somewhere else is good, except I'd kind of like to be home. You know, I'm going to go.
I'd rather be at TFCon.
Okay, but Brian, think about from like Diecast's point of view. Like, he made the trip to HasCon, then next week he's making the trip to DC for TFCon, and then like a week later he's going to be going to New York Comic Con.
Oh God, yeah, you are! Oh my God!
Yeah, but see, the upside is his wife gets all this time away from him.
I don't think Kim likes that.
I think
that's
what makes their marriage work.
Yeah, believe it or not.
She was complaining that I was going to TFCon next weekend.
So we don't really have any TFCon shenanigans planned, so I'll just be complete straight up honest with you. If you see us, say hi. But, you know, if I don't have any concrete, like, awesome podcast plans as far as, like, listener get-togethers or anything go.
Yeah. And also, Massey is not coming. I would like to arrive with some of my limbs still attached to my body. Because even taking him to the vet is an exercise in danger.
Yeah. So I got Massey this week when my dog Max bit me.
Oh, he just bit? That's all?
Well, I felt totally betrayed. In 4 years, he's never done that before. And it was pretty substantial. He drew the blood. Painful.
Wow.
It hurt, broke my heart.
It sounds like a happy day episode.
I did a happy day about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Kim actually really liked that one, so I questioned the quality of it.
Oh, hey, Brian, here's something. The Bruticus is $24.99. Swindle by himself by one of the sellers is $23.
No, that Bruticus is sold out. I tried.
Oh, it is? Okay,
I just refreshed it. It says two left in stock, so
yeah, you
know. it doesn't work. Oh,
so how is Kim looking forward to TFCon next week after just going through HasCon?
I don't know.
Well, now, at HasCon, y'all did other non-TF stuff, right? Y'all
hardly
went out and did stuff in this. Oh, I thought no.
We had plans to do it. We ended up going out Saturday, and we spent like 2 hours doing something.
What'd you do?
We went, there's like a couple of things that she wanted. She had like a checklist of things we wanted to do. we got to do one of them, which was try something called a pizza strip. Exactly.
Okay.
It was basically a cheese stick. No, it was basically a breadstick with marinara sauce on it. Ooh. That was the big vacation thing we did this year. Just try a pizza strip. Though we did enjoy U-Melt. That place was awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a place that does grilled cheeses, that sounds really like it's up my alley.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, Kim was like, oh, God, I want to go there. And I'm like, I don't want to go there. That sounds terrible. But I like just did it to like, you know, okay, Kim wants to try it. And it was the best thing there.
Yeah, we walked by first thing the first night we were there, and we're like, maybe we'll do that tonight. And I think Brian and I were both kind of like, like maybe that's more of a lunch thing. Then we had it for lunch, and we're like, oh my God, this is great!
It was great. Yeah, but what is she looking forward to at TFCon though? Hopefully, going out and seeing our nation's capital. That's about it.
Getting a view of Trump, maybe.
Well, she won't see Trump.
Meeting him? Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, probably not meeting Trump. Probably not meeting anybody from Congress. Probably not meeting anybody of note other than you guys. But she knows you guys. We got nothing for TFCon.
Yeah.
In fact, hey guys, I don't even know how long I'll be there.
She'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
I just tried the Bruticus, and it did at least add it to my cart. So it,
yeah,
it
but
did add.
Try to check out. It says it's not available.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, that sounds like Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah.
I will get into that, though. Hey, anybody get anything this week? Diecast got something at Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yes, I did. I also got... Today, it was a bunch of stuff. I got a little Huffer. Or Huff. And I got pipes.
Is that Bad Cube?
Yeah, Bad Cube.
Okay.
He's still in the box. This is version 2. Of Huffer from Bad Cube. Pipes is still in the box. I haven't gotten a chance to take that out yet. I also got Scorn and Nitro, so didn't get a chance to take. They came from Amazon actually too, so tfradio.net/Amazon.
It looks like that's going to be about the only place to find some of this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I found a Nitro and a Scorn at a Walmart last month?
Because that's weird, because the last time I was at my Walmart, they just got in 6-shot for the first time that I've ever seen there. And I got my 6-shot on the way to Joe Lana. So, yeah.
Then wait, the other thing I got, which is on RFC reviews right now, was X-Transbot's Klaatu. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's Klaatu.
Yeah, Klaatu.
He is an awesome Cosmos.
I told you in text last night that it looks so nice, but I'm afraid it'll cut me, so there's no way I can get it.
Klaatu is awesome.
Well, I'm definitely looking for... He's definitely a pickup for me at TFCon if I see a good price. It's just, I still like my Toy World Cosmos because I love those clear colors, but he's going on like the eventually, hopefully before I die, clear shelf with like backlights to make everything kind of pop.
Yeah. Don, you have to watch the review because I compared it to Toy World's Cosmos. So, well, I think you'll like that part.
This can't end well.
Well, it's a diecast review, so of course it will.
Oh.
But yeah, that's all I got. That's all I got this week. It's been slow.
I don't want to go because I'm feeling hyped right now. I got a couple things.
I'm downing like 32 ounces of like Monster right now. It's pretty awesome, but go ahead. Right.
Did you add some flavor to it for the...
Watermelon, yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Well, last week I mentioned that I did get the Anniversary Optimus Prime, and it was on sale through a dented box sale. So I got the other item this week because I figured the money I saved with the dented box, I went ahead and got Slugslinger off Amazon. So with him being the only new figure in that wave, and I still haven't found Wave 5 anywhere brick and mortar. And with what I'm seeing about Windblade, I don't think I want to buy the trio online and have another kind of blah Windblade.
No, so, you're fine without Windblade.
So I figured the money I save on Prime will help pay for Slugslinger, which is nice. And Diecast mentioned this last week.
but mine was already in transit. But I got Richtofen, which is Power Glide.
That's such an awesome box.
Yeah. And
who makes that?
DX9.
DX9. Okay.
And it's a very nice Power Glide.
Yeah.
And DX9 does really good packaging. I always like their packaging style.
Yeah.
And to go with my masterpiece Ghost Starscream, I got DX9's small Ghost Usurper. These were on my radar, but I was saving him for like, well, I got $70 worth of stuff. I need to get $100 for PayPal credit. Oh, I'll get, you know, the Ghost Starscream. So I went ahead and got him. I'm not planning on getting any of the other Seekers. I just wanted him for the clear shelf. And one other thing I got, and I don't see it. I think I'll mention it later. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, everyone knew I had this, obviously. But I did open up RC.
Don, we have again, to. What again, do you think?
Again, Brian, Doc asked Kim, thank you very much for helping me get her. I like her. Again, like I said in the past, nothing that they do short of an actual Takara masterpiece, you know, the way the masterpieces are supposed to be done, will meet this mental design picture of what the toy should be. But if that never comes to pass or I never get a third-party version, I have Headmaster RC. She's good. I'm happy. Mission accomplished.
And it came with a head, right, Don? So
it came with a head. If it hadn't diecast, it would have a head. Yours.
Don, I have to ask, did you get the mail?
Yes, I got the My Little Pony cards. They were cute.
Wait.
No, I sent a Transformers card.
I sent you the My Little Pony card.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Transformers.
And mine apologized for the RC not having a head. But you got it after you got RC, right?
Yeah. I just opened her when I felt better because I didn't want to not enjoy the figure and stuff. I really can't see anything else they could have done and I'm glad they didn't use the Chrome Dome mold. I really am glad they didn't use that. I know that's what the art book called for, but that just doesn't work for her. I mean, I got this. Plasticon gave this to me. He modified a Chrome Dome for me as a gift, and I love it.
That looks nice. RC.
Yeah, I saw that in your picture you put on Twitter. That looks fantastic.
I didn't realize what it was when I saw it.
It does.
Yeah. But
it's nice I'll transform to have a custom too because it's you know no one else is going to have that.
Oh yeah, and yeah. I mean you know this was part of our Secret Santa. So again, thanks to Plasticon for that.
But it's not GT.
But you know, well, even he knows awesome sometimes needs exceptions. So, but
Plasticon likes G2.
Yeah. Let's see, and of course, head on.
Get nude on. It's head on.
Not if you like the source material.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
God, so, I love that.
Yeah. So I guess maybe it's because since I have this nice custom, I didn't want another Chrome Dome. But I honestly, even if I don't have this one, I really think the blur mold captures her look closer than Chrome Dome would have. I really do.
I agree.
So again, yeah. I'm very happy. Again, thank you, Brian, Kim, and Diecast for waiting in line and braving HasCon and not having Krispy Kreme available for a couple of days. So, you know, thank you.
We did drink a lot of Dunkin' Donuts coffee, though. At least
the coffee is fine.
I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I had more hotel coffee than Dunkin' Donuts coffee, though, I'll be honest.
The coffee is great.
Anybody else?
Yes.
What'd you get?
Thanks to Dawn for giving me a tip on an eBay seller. I got the Perfect Effect 16 Genrai Prime.
Nice.
Is my video working? Because I know my internet's cut out a couple times.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I love it. It is awesome. There with a few little caveats. You almost have to buy the other Perfect Effect sets to get the full
Power Master Prime.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Like you can put the Titans Return Power Master Prime head on here, but because of the hinge in the back for the Titan Master helmet, it won't close it during transformation. Like the cab of the truck won't close. So I think I have to get a couple other sets, but I love it. Yeah, I love it. I'm probably going to get an Ultra Magnus one too.
It's not MP scale, right?
It is really nice. Oh, no, it's a deluxe.
It's probably about the size of Cerebro's, right?
Oh, okay.
I thought
it was more Voyager-ish. Yeah, it's definitely.
No, it's a deluxe.
It's deluxe, yeah. That's
big
nice.
Big deluxe.
I missed the big deluxe.
Yeah, I am Hardy's. Really happy with it.
Anything else?
No, that's all I got.
Okay, I'm going to go. I got Battle Beasts.
And Bit.
I got Bit, too. Because of the episode of What's Happened to the Headmasters that I recorded and posted this week, it was the episode, of course it's the episode that took place on Planet Beast, but in the dub it's Planet Pisto, which I don't get, but I love. But recording, I'm like, God, I need Battle Beast, and I don't have many. And I remembered that Takara had revived the line temporarily as a playable game. Because the old, you know, you had the rub sign. It's like fire beats wood, wood beats water, you know, yada, yada, yada. This is more of like a dice-based game that the little figure ejects. But I actually ordered 3 sets. They're pretty cheap. I got 2 sets of 3 and 1 set of 6. The 1 set of 6 came from Japan. I'm still waiting on it. But I got these 3. They're really nice. And they sort of satisfied my craving for Battle Beasts. So, one thing I really like. So, obviously, I mean, none of us have a complete knowledge set of Transformers. But I think that most of the things that I would find really novel or interesting, that I don't think there's anything really exciting and interesting left for me to discover about Transformers that I don't already know. Like an interesting connection or whatever. But what I really enjoyed, though, was in posting the most recent episode of What's Happened to the Headmasters, a lot of people found out that there was a connection between Battle Beasts and Transformers. Of course, I've known that for 20 years, but it's just really neat when you see people discover something like that and they are just enamored with it. So I just drew a lot of satisfaction from that, because Battle Beasts are awesome. Transformers are awesome. And it's good that there's a connection.
Yeah. Now, Brian, do you like reenact the commercial like wood, fire, fire beast?
Don?
You
know, yes, I do. I totally do.
Wait, well, the other kind of cool commercials is like wood, fire, fire beats wood, and then water beats fire. It's like, yes, the basic elements I know, but they made it like this grand epic fight.
Yeah, and so not Transformers related directly, it's G.I. Joe stuff, but a friend at work was getting rid of some G.I. Joe stuff, and I got some stuff out of him. I got the 1983 G.I. Joe headquarters that I assembled and put up over on my shelf, which is pretty awesome. The 1987 Mobile Command Center, center that I have it. I have it loose and it's missing most of the parts. There's a
Is that the tackle box?
Yes. The big okay. Gigantic tackle box. There's also a Spy Troops version. Spy Troops version of it that came out in like 2003. I got that from him, mint and sealed box.
Oh, nice.
For cheap. So, and the battle wagon. So I had to do a lot of reorganizing to get that stuff to fit. The mobile HQ hasn't been assembled yet. But God help me, I don't know how I'll be able to find space for that. So that'll be fun.
You need a Defiant.
I had one as a kid.
You also need the Starship Defiant?
Yeah, I need the Starship Defiant. Yeah, I definitely need that.
I'd rather have the Starship Defiant, but you know.
Yeah. That's all I got. So let's go ahead and jump to...
Hey, I got a couple things too.
Oh, cool.
First off, thanks to you, I now have the tire hunk that goes with San Diego Comic-Con Optimus Prime, which it is significantly less annoying to look at that little square recess in the box and actually have something in it. So thank you for that.
You are welcome.
That was just driving me crazy. And also, I got, thanks to Paramount for setting us up with this, I got a copy of Transformers The Last Night on Blu-ray to review for T-Formers, and my review of that is up now.
Oh, crap, I forgot. We have to record that commentary, don't we?
I didn't get
well,
mine yet.
The like physical media version doesn't still come out for a week or two. Yeah,
it comes out next week.
Tuesday, I think.
Yes, Tuesday.
So we can probably wait until after TFCon for that.
But we've got a commentary for every other one.
If you try to do it at TFCon, I will leave.
No.
We should lock the door and corner him and make
Okay, Matt. Matt, how important is it to you that Don does one of those What's Wrong with the Headmasters episodes?
Not like, enough to make me sit through a Michael Bay movie. And Diecast, you go ahead and try to lock us all in a room together.
I'm just joking.
I tell you what.
Okay, listen. I have a special request. If Diecast does try to lock Matt in a room with a movie playing, somebody get video because I have to see how much of his Marine training he remembers.
Well, that's funny.
Well, you know, we could just compromise and get one of the VHSs of the books on tape. And I can bring my VCR, you know, like when continents collide or, you know, Planet of Doom or whatever, and we could watch that. And it's a bad dub, but at least it's fun.
I do have to be careful and watch my back because he could always team up with JT Hogg.
And JT
could be there
because he's staying with me. So, yeah.
I mean, I don't think JT Hogg needs the help.
Well, wait a minute. JT will owe me some money for the room. You were trolling me all weekend at HasCon.
I think there's certainly a circumstance where JT could earn himself some free room and board for the weekend.
Yes.
Oh, man,
yes.
That would be great.
Yes, that would
the
be
best.
I would have to speak with him. JT, have your people call my people. We'll do lunch.
The best.
Okay, so what I expect is what I expect to see after TFCon is a montage sequence of Diecast running around TFCon trying to duck JT Hogg the entire time.
Which, again, I just want to point out the best Joe Anta moment involved Diecast and JT Hogg. Bar none.
It's on the YouTube channel.
You mean it
might panel, want to make sure your shoes are tied this time, Diecast.
They were tied.
Even second after Diecast, I feel so dirty.
So I feel like I forgot who it was. I think it was Chris. I think we had a disagreement. I think it was you and I had a disagreement on if there were more people from based on photos that were at the Donanomics panel or the first panel at HasCon. I think it's very close, but I mean, I think you can make an argument either way. I think people were more dispersed at the HasCon panel where everybody was like together for the Donanomics panel, but
there might have been a more visible concentration at the Donanomics panel, but like just taking the spaces into account, I don't think there could have been that few people at the Hasbro panel.
I don't feel like there are more than 30. Doesn't feel like it.
I can't believe there's that few.
Well, yeah, hopefully not, but yeah, it is what it is. So, let's see, what else we got going on? Anybody else get anything? Okay, This Week in History, 1992. The Headmasters episode, Crisis on Cybertron Part 2 airs in Malaysia.
No, Crisis on Cybertron.
Cybertron airs in Malaysia.
You pronounced that second R.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, the only reason I mentioned this is we're actually going to... This isn't going to be on the next episode of What's Happened to the Headmasters, but it should be on the episode after. So maybe I can start keeping up with the actual release of the Malaysian series. Actually, I'll probably end up passing it, which will be pretty awesome. I just need to get a plug in for the podcast. Check out What's Happened to the Headmasters at tfradio.net. It's awesome. And let's see here. In 2008, Toonami ends its run on Cartoon Network.
Aww. Okay, that is literally a major, major point of history, and it's a very sad point.
Yeah, but the reason it's the reason it's Transformers related though is because at the very least, Beast Wars aired some episodes on Cartoon Network during Toonami. And was there anything else that you guys are aware of?
I think some of Armada and Energon ended up on Toonami,
and. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the last five episodes of Beast Wars.
Yes,
because Nemesis ended on a Nemesis Part 2 was on a Friday, and I remember the Saturday Alt Toys Transformers was absolutely blew up because of that.
Well, the last episodes of the first episode of I know Agenda was on there. I thought Optimal Situation was on there, but maybe I'm misremembering.
And no, I don't think it was.
Yeah. It's not Transformers related, but I remember they did their like robot premiere week because they were trying out new shows. That's when we first saw Megas XLR, which had some Transformer references in it.
And Peter Cullen did a lot of the voiceover work for the Toonami ads.
Yeah,
and that was when he had nothing to do with the Transformers, and he wasn't doing
us the That gave us the Justice League cartoons, too, from the DC Animated Universe.
Yeah, Peter Cullen, though, wasn't...
That wasn't the Toonami thing.
Peter Cullen wasn't doing cartoons because he didn't want to have... He didn't want to be associated with any, like, violent children's-based programming at the time, as I recall, which just seems ironic.
Well, that's certainly the reasoning that was going around.
Yeah. So, that changed.
Actually, Brian, I was wrong. It was Code of Hero to Agenda, not...
Yeah, it was the end of season two. That
yeah, yeah, it was, on, yeah. I was a season all.
Yeah, that's yeah. Let's see here. That's it. So big item, sort of the big item. So how about those Hascon exclusives up at HasbroToyShop.com?
I understand you can still get the movie Voyager Optimus Prime with commemorative tire shred.
If you get the commemorative tire shred,
well, technically that's an SDC.
I think that's the point.
Exclusive. But no, you can get the Optimus Prime battery. The Optimus Prime.
Oh, the battery pack still?
The power pack is still there.
Yes. The Deadpool, I think, went the quickest.
How long did this stuff last? I didn't even see that it was
up.
I wanted to grab like another RC, but that didn't happen.
I saw somebody on Twitter theorizing that they had about 6 Deadpools.
Yeah, the Deadpool was like, no. No wonder why at HasCon they accidentally marked my badge for 2 and I only bought 1 the first time. And then I had to go get my receipt to show them that I only got 1. And then they sold me another one. Like, they were being really strict about it.
There weren't that many. I mean, obviously not. But we could actually see, like, the RCs stacked up at HasCon. There weren't that many.
Brian, can you not use the word RC and stacked? That kind of puts the wrong connotation out there.
Oh, God, Don.
They weren't
endowed with that very many RCs, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good that nothing sold out actually at the convention, so everyone who went to the convention was able to get what they wanted, as long as it wasn't an SDCC exclusive.
Yeah,
I wanted sell out faster.
I wanted the Missile Command Center for $50, and that didn't happen.
You should have told me. I totally could have got that for you.
I mentioned it to Kim, and I just wanted to mention. I mentioned Primitive Prime to you, and again, thank you for picking that up for me. Yeah, I should have mentioned it, but I don't need it. I've got the figures, and I don't have room for the set or the display piece, so I don't know why I wanted it.
In my opinion, the Primitive Prime was the better pickup anyway.
Absolutely.
But... I mean, it's still so odd that they do a retooling and all that extra stuff and a premium level packaging. It's only $5 more than retail, give or take. And the other one is $20 more than retail. And it's not even really anything special. So it's like...
better paint job.
It's like, how do... yeah, but it's like... is that worth the extra money for the other Prime? No.
Well, I think the movie Prime is its price is based on the completely different packaging, the piece of attire that you'll theoretically get, and the, you know, rather more extensive paint job that actually makes it look like a completed toy.
So I'll say this. I want to make this point. Rob's tire came from a guy I know at work. And so the guy
just off his truck.
Yeah, well, so he is not a Transformers collector. He's a Star Wars collector, but he thought it was cool. But you know what he didn't think was cool? That chunk of tire. Because he's like,
stupid.
Hey, he's like, hey, do you want this? And I'm like, my friend Rob needs it. Okay. So he did not care about that. So it's still sitting there. I mean, hopefully next time they'll, you know, I think movie toys are not really the stuff of convention exclusives.
Well, and more to the point, too, like, I think they're barking up the wrong tree thinking that the Transformers collector crowd who would go for that is also a movie memorabilia type that would want, you know, a piece of attire from a vehicle used in the filming of a movie.
A subset are. Yeah. Like, I'm certain Ender got it.
A small subset.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to actually, like, build an exclusive around that.
I think there's the idea that there are all these Optimus Prime collectors out there. Because the people who collect Optimus Prime and only Optimus Prime are so vocal about it. So,
yeah, but
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
It, you know, the retail on on this figure is $30 with the inferior paint job, that's already too much. If this had been a $30 exclusive, or even a $35 with the tire hunk, I can see that as justifiable, especially next to Primitive Prime, which is a freaking steal at $50.
Yeah.
But it's just too much for a Voyager.
And we're already paying $5 or so more for deluxes, another increase for Voyagers, another increase for leaders. We're not getting the better paint. We're getting wasted packaging, especially in cases of the deluxes, just to make it look in line with their other $20 toys. Like, these toys are priced at $20. This is a similar packaging, so it's worth $20. Not if there's nothing else added to the figure, like the paint. Voyager Prime for Walmart retail of $25, because you can still get them for $25 if you can find one that's in the piles of Grimlock. It's a good $25 toy, but if you're gonna pay $29 and there's no more paint on it, and all you have is wasted box and wasted packaging to make it look this trade dress, we're getting nothing for the extra money except BS, and that's what makes the exclusive look so bad. Because we're already getting BS with this. This is just $20 more BS.
I think RC was a great exclusive because it's something that we've been wanting for a long time. It came with the head, the Ultra Magnus Titan Master. It had very nice packaging. I mean, you did have to destroy the packaging if you want to get parts out. I think the packaging was overdone. A little bit. Yeah, but it was nice. I mean, it was nice packaging.
I think a dressier box that the Optimus and Orion Pax came in would have been fine. And then you could add Ultra Magnus, like, you know, off to the side as well, or something. But, you know, a basic window box, maybe like you remember the classic two packs that had, like, Thundercracker and Ultra Skywarp and Ultra Magnus at Target, and you open it up and you kind of had the two figures and you had the two flaps on the side. Something like that without having the figures actually inside that hinge thing.
Okay, but, so reach back a little bit farther. Remember Transformers Universe, the first version of it, and the Battle in a Box sets?
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Which was the cardboard trays, and it was just a plastic dome over the top of it, so you could see all around those. Those were a really great presentation.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen something like that. But they did that with the first movie line, too.
And I'll
not say, all point, terrible toys.
The point I was going to make is that with that packaging and the extra Titan Master, I find it really hard to believe that this is going to show up somewhere else. Maybe RC will show up without the Titan Master, the Ultra Magnus, but I wouldn't be surprised if it gets forgotten about and this is the only way we get RC.
Who knows? Actually, to that point, I want to go ahead and jump to the next news item.
Yeah.
And Chris, actually, you posted this news item, so tell us more about it. It's Transformers Last Night Deluxe Cogman release date delayed indefinitely.
Okay, so, you know, like, distribution on the deluxes has been kind of garbage. I think a lot of that comes down to the point Don was making a couple of minutes ago. You know, pricing them at $20 each with no appreciable increase in quality and making them look tiny in their stupid collector packaging. So it doesn't look like we're going to have easy access to the U.S. version, and we were looking at the Takara Tomy release in October as like a safety net. So about that, that's been delayed indefinitely. They put a notice up on the Takara Tomy Transformers website today just explaining that, no, it's not coming out in October, and we have no further information for you at this time.
Boo.
Oh, so great. Wait, that's the Takara Tomy version. Yep. That's the...
Uh-huh.
So that doesn't mean that the U.S. version is going to have...
That's just implied.
So about that U.S. version, we found out today via Entertainment Earth, they put the case assortment. So that's going to come in a case with a Bumblebee, a Berserker, and I think two other things from Wave 3. Cogman's going to be the only thing in there with reruns from the previous Wave and Wave 1. So it's... two to a case, I think, but still, you know, three quarters of a case of old toys. Once those two Cogmans go, if a store ever stocks what they're calling Wave 4, you're not going to see a Cogman ever, most likely.
No, that's kind of like Time to Return, that the Slugslinger wave. He's the only new figure in that entire wave.
And from that Power of the Primes, the leak slides that had that set those case assortments, the fourth wave of that is basically the same thing as Wave 4 of The Last Knight and the Slugslinger wave. There's going to be one new figure in that and reruns from the previous two waves. So this is a pattern that's emerging with how Hasbro is packing out their Transformers cases.
This reminds me so much of, like, what was it, Beast Machines Jetfire? Going all the way back, it was the Jetfire.
This guy's Stormjet.
It was the repaint of Stormjet in Jetfire colors.
Yes. Repaint of Jetstorm in Jetfire colors,
Like, that was so hard to get a hold of.
It was up to a point. Then eventually, like, Eckerd started getting them for $15.
Which
at the time seemed outrageous because, you know, you get deluxe for like $9 in a normal store. But today we would think $15 for a deluxe is actually a little bit of a deal.
But even at the time, though, that toy was selling for so much on eBay that $15 was not a lot.
Most of them were coming from Australia.
Was it Australia? Crap.
Australia was getting a lot of them.
Like Energon.
Our old friend Marcus was trying to help out as many of our friends as possible.
He got me Ultra Magnus.
Get those.
From Energon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't pay him back for like 12 or 13 years.
Well, what counts is that you eventually got around to it.
I tried to. He's like, oh, well, just get me something when I need it. I'm like, dude, I've had this. This was years ago. I really want to pay you back. So that's unfortunate. Also unfortunate, this is my favorite news item from the whole week. It really is. Transformers Universe Bumblebee crew destroys local art in downtown Vallejo. So apparently there was a mural, a well-known mural in town, that they destroyed in the filming of Bumblebee.
So it seems like when they were preparing this location, there was a miscommunication, and I guess the owner of the building signed off on it, not realizing what they were actually asking to do. And so they painted over a well-known mural that a local community artist had put up there in 2012, which was memorializing some people who lost their lives tragically over the previous few years. And there had been a lot of community input as to what the contents of the mural was, and the film crew kind of painted over it.
So that level of detail completely makes it not funny. Like, in my
These movies just need to stop.
In my mind, they blow it up, and it's live imitating art.
Yeah, Rob had an interesting observation on Twitter related to this yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. So there's, they painted over this mural. Someone I heard mentioned that at HasCon, Lorenzo de Bonaventura was bragging that they were able to smash something into an ancient building in England. They have no idea how they got away with that, but it was explicitly allowed. And of course, in the lead up for Transformers The Last Knight, they were sneaking paintings with Transformers in them into actual art museums, which I find deeply offensive. So basically, the Transformers films are actively attempting to destroy art and culture in the world.
That hurts what Matt said.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, they're not good cinema already. So it's not like it's like, well, we destroyed your mural, but you've got this movie for the ages to replace it. No, you don't.
Paramount has promised to pay for the restoration of that. I assume once they're done with that location. So
yeah, they are
taking responsibility for what happened.
That's good. Hopefully, they're doing more than just calculating the slingshot effect to zoom around the sun and fix it.
It was an accident. It was a miscommunication. Some wires got crossed. I mean, these things happen.
Yeah, it really just goes to show that, like, the filming crews for these Transformers movies need to start kind of being more careful. Like, the worst thing that ever happened on one of these shoots, and I think it was Dark of the Moon, was one of the stunt drivers got killed during the execution of a stunt sequence. And that's terrible. It does happen sometimes. It's not necessarily a sign of negligence on the part of the film crew. Sometimes these things just do go wrong, but like, yeah, smash into a building in England, paint over a community art piece like this. Like, there's just this little bit of, they're not quite firing on all gears here, making sure their processes are locked down.
Well, I don't think it's a problem with just the Transformers movie. I mean, we're seeing it at that.
Probably
because
not.
That's
just what we're paying attention
watching,
to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're paying attention to Transformers movies.
Quit using because, your logic diecast.
Well, recently, I heard there was another stunt person that crashed
in the Deadpool movie,
on
Deadpool,
yes, Deadpool 2, I believe.
It was a young lady.
Yeah, which is very tragic and sad, and there was something else that happened on a movie. Oh, I think Tom Cruise like broke his ankle or something, or his leg on the filming of his last movie. So
it's
something
that
happens
things,
in this business.
Yeah, these things do happen, but like there needs to be more care taken, especially when you're dealing with basically irreplaceable things like a mural like this. The mural could potentially, if they have enough pictures of it, be recreated there. The building in England, you could put new bricks in to repair what they smashed, but it's never going to be the same as what it was before. Yeah. It's an old, irreplaceable thing. You need to be more careful with that. The community in Vallejo was even commenting on social media after they found out it happened, like, you know, why did they paint over? Couldn't they have hung something in front of it to disguise it? You know, like, they didn't even need to go necessarily as far as painting.
You can digitally paint over that on film.
Yeah.
Although it's a lot cheaper to... It's a lot cheaper to do it as a practical solution before you start filming than to have to go frame by frame and paint it out.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as budget as this Bumblebee movie is compared to what we're used to, that's something that would definitely count.
But now they have a public restoration project on their hands, which is
probably
more expensive.
But I think it's probably still going to be cheaper than painting out the mural in post.
Yep. So diecast wins with the critical thinking. So just moving along.
Wow, are we in the Bizarro universe?
Yeah, no. Transformers and Diaclone concept art shows off Optimus Prime's robot base mode, Carrie K City, unused Metroplex, and more. So I have not really studied this, this stuff, but I know, Rob, you posted this article. Can you tell us more about
it? A little bit. This Twitter user seems to have been an artist who worked with Takara in the 80s. I don't think all of this is their art. Some of it may be, but some of it is just they seem to have picked up a lot of design work and sketches and things over the years. Also, the original design sketch for Hunger's Beast Mode is also back on their Twitter feed somewhere. But yeah, this shows off an early version of Metroplex that was, it's marked, I think, Diaclone Station, so that early. And, it was originally supposed to look much more like a city, make a much less, I want to say, dynamic-looking robot, just so it would make a better city. And interestingly, the Diaclone Battle Convoy, the Optimus Prime cab, was actually supposed to have its own base mode at one point.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, because it looks like it has a little ramp. You could put some of the like very smallest figures on it. The Diaclone drivers could walk up the ramp, whatever. You know, it does make a certain amount of sense, and that explains why the smokestacks rotate when there is no practical reason for that on the original toy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love when stuff like this shows up. I think it's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, me too.
But at the same time, it's kind of like one of those things when somebody says, hey, don't you want to see what we were thinking of with this? And I'm like, well, if it didn't get made and there's, you know... Sometimes it's not worth knowing what's rattling around in somebody's head because there's no practical way something was going to happen. But I think something like this, it really shows how we got to what we have. And I think that's really neat. It clues us in on some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, what else we got? Okay, so I have no idea. I don't even remember seeing this item before, but I wanted to mention it. Because
it was months ago.
Yeah, there's been so little third party news lately. It's like been dead. So this is something honestly scraping to find third-party news to talk about. Fans Hobby MB03A, Red Dragon, limited exclusive announced. So it looks like it's based on the, what, Dragon Megatron?
The BotCon Megatron.
The Oh, God, I forgot about this. Yes. So is this a, it's an exclusive to what?
TFCon, I believe.
No, SGC in Shanghai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
300 pieces.
So I would like to see something like this at TFCon. We only have one exclusive, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Well, one known exclusive so far.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do pop up as surprises.
But considering this is an exclusive homage to a product release in the U.S., you'd feel like they would actually release it here.
Although you kind of have to wonder, too, since it's specifically based on the BotCon version and not the original Transmetal 2 toy, I wonder if this is not a response from this company, knowing they're going to release it in Asia. You know, that BotCon Megatron sold through so fast, it's probably not something that's easy for anybody to get at a comparable price.
That makes sense.
So this is something they can kind of do to fill that gap a little, like Don's always talking about with the rare old G1 stuff.
And I'll be honest, I want this, but since I was lucky enough to be one of those that got the BotCon Megatron, if I don't get this, I'd rather someone who can't get one, of course. But I hope we do see this. Maybe they'll either take the flames and change the flames or change the staff, you know, sort of dress it down a little bit if it gets a release later on.
Yeah, so again,
they can always do a blue Cryotech version.
That would be beautiful.
Going back to what I said before when we talked about some of this stuff, like third-party items do not equate to a stand-in for me. Or not even third-party, like Masterpiece. Maybe Masterpiece to a small extent, but like if I really say I really wanted a G1 Mirage, I got multiple, but say I didn't have a Mirage, I really want a Mirage. Getting like Sphinx doesn't scratch that itch. It's something completely different. This would not at all scratch an itch for me if I really wanted that BotCon Megatron. If I wanted this and I like the look of it, it would be because I want this. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that to a certain degree, especially with this, since it's a decidedly different aesthetic than the BotCon Megatron. Yeah. So I don't feel like it would work as a one-to-one stand-in, but for the concept, it could. But like, you know, Sphinx for a G1 Mirage, like, I have a harder time getting in line with you on that, because like, I feel like that kind of does everything it can to kind of fill that role. I'm not saying, like, you know, collect the way you want to collect. I'm not going to tell you that you're doing it wrong. I'm not even going to think you're doing it wrong, because that's a super subjective thing.
Yeah.
It's a position I can't personally, like, internalize or understand.
Yeah, this is just so weird to me, though, I totally understand where you're coming from, though, and I think you're probably right when it comes to this being released in Asia. It's just that's so weird to me. So, and especially being limited to 300 pieces. But 300 pieces is not that. I don't think that's that far off from what a wide release would be. Because a wide release is probably closer to 2,000.
I would think it's probably a third to a quarter of what the wide release would be. But it's plenty for like a convention when you're only planning to sell to attendees.
Yeah.
And this does not rule out that if the opportunity arises, maybe an exclusive similar to this, like Don was saying, could be offered at another venue. It just depends if that opportunity presents itself. I don't think it's necessarily like we're only going to offer this here. This is just we're offering this here right now, and this is the quantity we're producing.
Yeah.
In this design style.
Well, even that is debatable. Like, you know, they could do the same thing for like TFCon 2018 in Toronto, for instance, you know, or something in the UK.
So next item, Bloomberg and other sources have reported, though, that Toys R Us moves forward with bankruptcy. As we talked before, that doesn't mean that they're going out of business. It means they're looking to either restructure or figure out some sort of debt plan. Who knows what that is? In the article that you guys cite at T-Formers, there's some references. I think there's a couple of references to Hasbro in that, if I'm not mistaken. I know Ant from TFU Info sent me the same article that you guys have, basically saying that Hasbro values Toys R Us, and you know they need them in the market to, you know, help distribute toys.
Yeah, some of the other suppliers are wanting to cut back shipments to Toys R Us because of the bankruptcy proceedings, but Hasbro so far is maintaining normal business relations with Toys R Us through this process.
I saw another article, and it didn't quite click. Maybe it's just because it's so obvious, pointing out to why Amazon has so heavily eaten into Toys R Us's market. And the reason it didn't click is because it's such an obvious statement, it didn't seem worth saying, if that makes sense. So I didn't see,
okay.
I didn't see, somebody shared with me this article, and it pointed out basically that part of Toys R Us's problem is that they have to compete against Amazon, which I'm like, well, obviously. So there's a lot of reason. When somebody says, well, part of the problem is that you're competing with Amazon, well, duh, you know.
An important
Welcome
thing to remember.
The global economy.
Yeah.
An important thing to keep in mind with Toys R Us doing the bankruptcy, this is not because their business has slipped appreciably. This is because they have been burdened with a staggering amount of debt for several years since they were bought out by a private company, basically just to absorb debt for that company.
Yeah. And
so it's basically just come to a head at this point where they have to take this action to restructure what they're immediately on the hook for with the start of the next fiscal year. So that's pretty much why this is happening. It's not a sign that Toys R Us as a business is failing any more than it was, you know, last year.
I do want to point out, though, and I hate to sound terrible, but I don't think if Toys R Us went out of business that that would have any impact on me whatsoever. I mean,
we'd probably lose a few exclusives a year. I mean,
yeah.
Or Amazon could pick them up.
I mean, that's a tricky thing because, like, at some point you have to think, well, Toys R Us is getting these exclusives because nobody else is, you know, volunteering to take on exclusives.
Yeah, the question becomes, would the absence of Toys R Us actually increase Amazon's demand for exclusives? And I would say that fewer competitors actually would reduce Amazon's need for exclusives.
So I think Amazon has... Go ahead, Don.
Well, because Amazon is going to wind up gaining all the extra stuff anyway, so they really wouldn't need the exclusives. Because
when you say stuff, what do you mean?
Let's say Toys R Us did close, okay? And so their products would expand, picking up the slack that Toys R Us did, and they'll expand into areas that they wouldn't normally do or carry a deeper. They've already got a wide
selection.
Amazon's
got everything.
Right. But I'm saying they'll wind up.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they could really accrue from Toys R Us closing is just more market share.
That's it. I mean, so the reason Toys R Us has exclusives is to bring people into the door at Toys R Us. It's not because Hasbro has to market those toys.
But I think you're otherwise correct, Don. Toys R Us closing would increase Amazon's market share and thus decrease their need to take on special exclusives to get people to come and shop
people
with them.
Because they're going to already be there anyway.
You know, we say Amazon would do it, but realistically, if people are already walking into the store, it would probably be more Walmart and Target.
But, you know, Toys R Us is also one of those places where, I don't know, it's just... I remember back in the old days when you would go in and you would see a 40-foot run of Transformers, or you'd have...
Or Ninja Turtles.
Or Mask. I remember Mask just being an entire 8-foot section of Mask toys.
That sounds awesome.
You know what
the
best thing was in the old days, though? When you would go and see a 40-foot run of where Power Rangers was supposed to be.
and there would be one, like, ugly eyeball that's on the shelf. But, you know... I think if Toys R Us closed, the world would still continue, of course. But it's nice being able to go into a toy store and look around and see stuff, not just from what you collect, but other lines maybe you don't know existed, or you knew about them, but you never saw this figure or that figure. So it would hurt from a standpoint of not being able to see stuff you didn't know about because you were there anyway. And you would sort of just, you know, again, you would see stuff you hadn't thought about, or like, oh, hey, I didn't know this line here. You know, I like this figure from, this is a new line I've never seen. But if you're on Amazon, if you don't know it exists, you can't look for it because, again, you don't know it's out there. But in Toys R Us, it's visually right in front of you. You would see other stuff that you didn't know was out there, and you could expand your collecting into different lines, seeing something new. And if that closes, you're going to lose the opportunity to find out about new stuff to either after it comes out, when it, if it's a popular item or if it's a very niche item, it'd be hard to find or expensive to go back and pick up. So it's kind of a minor thing, but I think you would lose a lot of fun because you would miss out on a bunch of stuff you would find out until well after the fact.
You don't have to worry about it for a while, though, because
we're going into
Toys R Us's busy season. They're not closing stores right now, which makes sense because they're going into the busy season. So we're not going to see any changes till at least January or February. So we have a couple months.
And probably next summer, I would say, is when we would start having like real material changes to Toys R Us's operations.
Right.
Yeah. The one thing I would suggest to Toys R Us is that don't open your mall stores and jack up the prices even more than you already have for the holidays, because if you've got enough product, just man your mall stores and get your sales off of that, because no one wants to go to your Toys R Us temporary mall stores and pay $25 for an $18 figure.
Yeah, but the people who are shopping at the malls anyway, who would have to make a 10 or 15 minute drive to an actual Toys R Us location somewhere, might be tempted to just pop into the Toys R Us mall location and grab something from there, even if it is marked up, if they're even aware that the prices increased. Like, you have to look at it from the direction that Toys R Us is actually operating from, putting those mall locations in. It's not, people who would be shopping at a Toys R Us as a matter of course. It's people who are shopping somewhere else, and there's a convenient Toys R Us location to also do some shopping at.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, because I'm going to make the last point.
Okay. For having
me having last point.
Yeah. For me working at K&K and KB, I definitely get. I work for them. I definitely get where you're coming from. But if they need to just move product, not having the price as high in the mall stores, at least they can move more units. People saying, oh, hey, I can go get this somewhere else, but that somewhere else may not be Toys R Us. It may be Walmart or Target. So they can still make more money, but not drive the customers elsewhere because they'll see that price and think, or not know it is, think it's the same price at regular Toys R Us's. So there's that as well.
It's basically the Toys R Us version of a 7-Eleven. You go to get gas, you want a Slurpee, and there's also a bag of chips there if you need to take a bag of chips home with you. But anyway, Toys R Us is not going anywhere fast because 15 years or so ago, Kmart started going through bankruptcy proceedings. And while there are far fewer today than there were then, you can still find Kmarts out in the wild.
So
Toys R Us has some years into it still.
So the company I work for is a direct competitor with Sears. And Sears and Kmart are the same company. I know that as far back as 10 years ago, within the industry, we kept hearing that Sears would be gone within 5 years. It was like,
it's getting closer and closer.
Yeah,
I heard Sears would be gone before Christmas recently. So,
within the industry, people who know felt that Sears would be gone, and it's not. So, who knows? Hey, the next item I have up, I literally only have in here because we have never, as far as I know, even talked about these in the news on the show, and this stuff is sitting on the shelf right now. Not this specifically, but this line. The Transformers Last Night All-Spark Tech Toys. Like, are you?
Yeah, they're in Toys R Us if you can find it at Toys R Us.
Yeah, like my Walmart has some of this stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they showed how this stuff was designed at HasCon, which is all well and cool, but I have yet to buy any of it, and I don't have any desire to buy any of it. But this is the basically, it has an AllSpark cube that you power in the toy. That it the gimmick seems very vague to me. I don't see the value in it.
Well, you can take that cube from toy to toy, and it'll recognize what toy it's in and have different sounds or phrases and lights and all that stuff. So there is some, it's just that cube is so big. I think they had to design the figures around that cube, and that kind of limited what they could do with the figures.
This is one of those things that I don't know who this is being marketed to.
I agree.
I don't know the point of it.
I don't understand the purpose they're going for. It's like, crap like this, I just can't see a need for. Again, I know I'm not the target audience, but like you said, who is the target audience for this? And
kids.
If they hadn't made this, how much more new molds could we have gotten in the deluxe line?
None.
For the initial.
It's not a one-to-one thing.
Those are not related.
I just see wasted money that could have gone somewhere else is the way that I'm looking at it.
So somebody has did the math, and they said, well, if we produce this and we sell X number of units, we turn a profit. That's it.
I mean, you could look at it from the perspective of, okay, if they didn't spend this money on this, maybe they could have kept the deluxes under $20, but no, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the whole similar trade dress thing was the big push on that.
Well, that's what we guessed at any rate.
When they did that conference call, I think they specifically had said something that they wanted to. They had gotten with like the Star Wars Black Series and the Marvel Legends package design people and wanted to get something similar for that, something to that effect. I mean, I don't know if they said 100% explicitly, like, yeah, we're going for that same style, but it was definitely inspired by that.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention it so that we can say that we have mentioned it. I know we get accused a lot of times about not talking about certain things, and I will own up to that because between Chris and I, we usually pick what goes in the news, and if I'm not interested in it, it doesn't make it. So,
and I'm interested in far fewer things than you are.
This is true. So, next item: TFCon USA exclusive Planet X Somnus. So, Somnus has something to do with sleeping. So I don't know how that name applies unless he's supposed to be, it's an analogy for death because it's Ghost Star.
Well, yeah, because there was the MP1 sleep mode, which was the dead Optimus Prime masterpiece.
But he wasn't clear. It wasn't like
sleep mode war for Cyberdrone Starscream.
Yeah, I don't get it. But this is the exclusive, so this will be sold by Big Bad Toy Store.
Chosen Prime.
I thought it was Big Bad. Okay. But basically they will have this at TFCon in their booth for sale.
Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't do anything for me. I got enough Starscream.
I like the War for Cybertron Starscream design. I never really liked how Planet X turned it into a toy. I'm, in general, far happier with the official deluxe. Although, yes. not first choice in these colors. Maybe.
Which version is that?
Test Shot.
Oh, no wonder I don't. Okay. I forgot you had
that.
Taobao
special?
That's pretty.
It is.
And being the clear plastic lover of the group, even I don't want this. I mean, mainly because it's the design, not it being a Planet X product. It's that whole war within, War for Cybertron. I don't really care for any of that. So it's just, you know, I wish it was another Starscream from something else. I'm not sure what, but anyone who wants mine, y'all can have it.
So, speaking of things I have no interest in, but I'm mentioning it anyway, more statue stuff. Imaginarium Art they are showing off their Soundwave, which looks really nice if you want an expensive Soundwave statue.
I'm far more into the next thing if I was going to buy a statue, which we've established on many occasions that I'm not.
So
if I was going to buy one, it's not the Unicron lamp.
Yeah, he comes with basically interchangeable parts, like arms and stuff. One version comes with a rat bat. One version comes, I guess, with a laser beak. One comes with a frenzy. So it's slotted where you can like stick parts onto it. It's expensive too.
I mean, it's. Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm glad they're doing some more statues because I know there's a lot of statue collectors out there. I'm not.
Then why do you?
But
care?
I mean, well, because the fandom is made up of a lot of people who like different things. And the
I see that on Twitter all the time. People have just been asking where their Transformers statues.
People used to. There was a demand. There was a demand for statues at some point.
And the fact that a lot of these are just in the few hundreds for their production runs, I think, speaks well enough to where it stands right now. What the marketplace for this really is.
Go ahead, Don.
Well,
I was just saying that we're looking back at like Hard Hero and the cheap prices at the end of its life. And thinking,
cheap quality.
Well, I've got one or two and never had really had a problem with them. But you know, we're looking at a completely different material, completely different production, probably. And again, like you said, Chris, lower production runs. So we really can't judge all the era of the hard hero stuff against this and say there's really not a thing.
I just think it's overpriced anyway. Matt, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I think there used to be a market for statues because people wanted more animation accurate depictions of Transformers.
Yeah.
But with the advances we've had in the years to engineering and stuff like that, the deluxe toys we get look a lot more like what people wanted all along.
Right,
they're easier to come by.
Yeah, I would really like to see, I'd really like to see the place on the internet where like the statue buying collectors are. Like, I assume that they, I assume they tend to group more together than they do interact with other segments of the fandom, because it's kind of natural that people who collect the same kind of thing will be the ones talking to each other. I want to see, like, that part of the internet and see how many of these people are like, yeah, I'm going to buy every one of these statues that comes out, or is it more like, I'm going to buy this one, then, you know, maybe 2 years later, oh, there's another one I'm interested in, I'm going to get that one. You know, it seems like one of those things where, yeah, you would get one, then maybe another one a long time later. It's not an all-in thing.
It may just be like a selection bias thing because I'm not in those groups, but I would honestly tend to think they're like neutrinos and they don't interact. Whenever I see people showing off their statues, it's not in a group. It's like they're just showing off their collection and they happen to have like four or five statues in their collection.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I know a few people that collect Hot Toys, and that's a lot of money per figure. Some people have a ton of figures, and some only have a couple. So, again, it's like, you know, but that's all they collect, so that's why they can get more of it. But these things here, you really would be hard-pressed to collect all of them, because that would be...
Yeah, there's no market for it.
So, did we talk about the next statue?
We're going to right now.
I forget. Okay, I got something to say about that one.
So, this is the Megatron from Beast Wars by Prime One Studios. Go ahead.
Since it's rumored that we may be getting a Masterpiece Megatron, and we know Hasbro likes to share their concept drawings and their art drawings, is it possible that this statue could look a lot like the Masterpiece Megatron that we're going to get?
No.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
No, not at all. I mean, think about the lengths they went to make Masterpiece Optimus Primal look like the mainframe CG model. And then look at all the dinosaur parts on this statue. It's completely different. The Masterpiece would be going as close as it could to the way it looked in the cartoon, because that's what Masterpiece is about now.
And I would think if there was a Megatron on the way, that we wouldn't already have a statue through production, design production, and delivery like we're about to have. I would think that they would much more closely align when it comes to the actual timing of release.
You know, the original Megatron is not my favorite incarnation. Mine is Transmetal 2 Megatron.
Transmetals. Incorrect.
Transmetal 2. I was thinking of the other figure. But this actually makes me like Barney Megatron
a lot more.
But now, granted, if this was, you know, Transmetal 1 Megatron, I still wouldn't get it because of the price, but it'd be on my watch list along with the Unicron lamp.
I mean, yeah, think about a Transmetal Megatron statue where, like, all the metallic surfaces could be chromed to different extents, and you wouldn't have to worry about it, like, chipping and wearing and, you know, crumbling at the waist like the actual toy.
And then maybe the fans, there could be a battery that would actually turn the fans on inside
oh,
the...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Or just the cheek lights glow.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Or the tail could do the light up, the segment light up bit, and then stop at the end.
Or it could scissor the tail end could like scissor, you know, open up and close. Hey, okay.
Oh yeah,
I would love that.
No, but I mean, like Megatron did his best work in the Transmetal body, but like this is a cool design. It's always a cool design to me.
Yeah.
And they've made it look so good in this statue.
The only thing I wish is they didn't have the Dinobot head down there.
That's my one conceptual problem with
that's
this.
That's a distraction from the rest of the actual figure itself.
I mean, it takes it out.
I shouldn't have to get a little paper bag to put over the dismembered Dinobot head on the base in order to enjoy the statue.
Yeah, I hate that it takes it out of the
fiction. Just break it off. I mean,
oh, God, yeah. It'll do it. It'll probably do it itself eventually. But yeah, there's that. Next item we have, last item in the news, Power of the Primes, Leader Class Optimus Prime. Somebody on Weibo compared it to MP10 with photos. And it looks really good.
It does. They are pretty similar in size, it looks like.
Yeah.
The ankles appear to be a little bit more extended than normal on the Power of the Primes Optimus to get it up closer to height. But yeah, they're not too far off.
Having seen this in person, it's beautiful.
I actually looked at the official renders they passed out to us after HasCon, and that seems to be pretty much the official configuration for the ankles, because I was thinking the same thing, but it matches up with the render pretty well. So
the one thing about this picture is when this could be an early test sample. This could be a they're supposed to be out. Street date is what? November?
December 1st.
Leaders, I believe it's January 1st.
But looking at this Optimus Prime, it shows you how really crappy the stickers are. I mean, look at the stickers. Look at the stickers on that shoulder. That Prime
poorly
looks
applied.
Yeah, that Prime looks so good.
But they're poor quality, too.
Yeah.
Don't sell them short, Brian. They're poor quality and poorly applied.
We don't have those yet to know they're poor quality yet.
Yeah. We just have every other
toys
sticker
we
has
do have
done the last time.
We can't assume. Yeah. We can extrapolate.
We have
a pattern of bad behavior to draw from.
I don't even put stickers on this crap anymore. They just live stickerless.
Now, see, honestly, put stickers on them.
Yes.
Honestly, if we're going to get the stickers, I would rather have stickers that I apply myself.
Yes, and then I will just not.
Yeah, none of my Titans
class
toys
nice to
have stickers.
Plus, now, I mean, if it came with user-applied stickers, then we could just skip that process and not have to peel off the existing ones when we put the Reaper labels on inevitably anyway.
Exactly.
one thing, Brian, I have not seen a picture of the back of Power of the Primes Optimus. How far
There's
back does
good
Orion...
For that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's all gray because it's a trailer.
Okay, so Orion's not like sticking like a hunchback out of Young Frankenstein.
Probably that too.
Yeah, I think his legs become a backpack.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Okay, so
he's a big
backpack.
I don't care. I want it anyway because I want the little Dario Orion pack.
Rodimus looks even better.
I have enough IDW inspired Orion packs now. I want a Sunbow one.
That's like, just for me. Sunbow Orion packs is like something I have never ever thought I wanted to have as a toy.
Me neither.
And seeing it executed, I definitely don't want that as a toy.
I love that
I
they
want
did
it so much.
I didn't have a
so
desire
much.
For it.
You can have mine, Matt.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so hey, guess what? When this is on Amazon, you can use our link to buy it, but it's not yet. So that does you no good. But if you want to buy toilet paper or cat food or like Halloween candy because Halloween's coming up, tfradio.net/Amazon.
Yep.
I just bought cat food and dog food today. And it's so awesome. I don't even have to leave my house. I can be a hermit and feed my pets. They won't starve.
You know, in the old days, I always wondered how hermits managed to, have food and clothing for themselves, if they had pets, how they, kept them up. I mean, today with Amazon, it's really easy to take care of all those tasks, but I'm still not really sure how people just didn't die, 15, 20 years ago.
Okay, so speaking of that, I will completely be honest with you. So the only person here that has known me since the old days is Chris. And you know when I lived in the boonies, way up in the boonies, when that blade of grass kept RFC down forever. I have flirted with the idea of moving way back up in the hills, like I used to live. And, because it's so beautiful up there compared to where I live now. And the real estate's really cheap relative to here. And I could still commute, or I could possibly telecommute. And it's so lovely, and Amazon still delivers up there. I wouldn't have to leave my house except to go to work.
And now Amazon is actually doing that. They keep giving me that free trial to Amazon Fresh, and I haven't used it, but that's like they deliver groceries to your house if you want.
Publix will do that too, apparently, which is kind of all. I think they will anyway. But, but that's on Amazon. tfradio.net/Amazon if you want to.
Well, it's not Amazon yet. Give them time.
Oh yeah, they did buy Whole Foods. I need to visit my local Whole Foods to see what's changed as far as pricing goes.
Probably nothing yet.
Apparently they've already started slashing the price on stuff. I love Whole Foods. I really do. Except for the price tag that goes along with it. So we'll see. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to the next thing, which is Rob. What's on T-Formers this week?
We've got a few things. We've got some more promotional art for Transformers The Last Knight. Concepts for an undead samurai who sure looks like a drift palette swap. As well as some location designs, which, you know, rewatching, and this is something else, like I said at the top of the show, is up on T-Formers right now, my review of the Transformers The Last Knight Blu-ray combo pack. Rewatching some of those scenes at the end of the movie, Cybertron just looks boring. It's barely alien at all. It's got this like honeycomb thing going on, and otherwise it looks like it was filmed in a rock quarry, because it was. And it's just... It doesn't look, it barely looks mechanical. It barely looks alien. It's just all kinds of dull. So, but it looks better in the concept art. And you can see that on T-Formers. In better news, Alex Milne will be doing the interior artwork for Lost Light number 13. So this is his first time back on this story since More Than Meets the Eye ended. So good to have him back. And let's see, we also have a new Decepticon who was teased in a photo for the Bumblebee movie. And lastly, of course, Jack from T-Formers lives within driving distance of the current shooting location in Santa Cruz. So he has gotten a lot of photos of the cars and some of the areas that they're shooting in for the next 4 or 5 days or so.
Cool. Okay. Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? How Was Your Weekend? Episode 17. We're back from vacation. On this episode of How Was Your Weekend, Wendy and Brian share their vacation updates. What's Happened to the Headmasters? Episode 3. Water Puts Out Fire. What will put out the fire in my heart? On episode 3 of What's Happened to the Headmasters, I'm joined by Nathan, currently an Elf Rogue and forever an Alabama football fan. Today we talk about the 5th episode of The Headmasters, The Revolt on Planet Pisto.
Pisto.
RPG Lessons Learned, Episode 20, Mission from God, Pathfinder Series. This week on RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty and Mike return to Pathfinder to discuss the Mike-centered game, Mission from God. Just like all of our Pathfinder games, this is based on the characters included in the Pathfinder Beginner Box. RFC Reviews Diecast, Fans Toys FT08, Head, the head for Grinder, Titans Master RC, and X-Transblot's Klaatu.
Awesome. Thanks, Don. Remember, of course, you can find this episode at tfradio.net/537. Leave us a voicemail, 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. We are on Instagram at tfpodcast. And don't forget, we have a Twitter contest going. Go to twitter.com/tfradio. You'll see a little follow us, first and foremost. Throughout the week, actually next coming weeks, we'll be posting this tweet out there that basically says all you have to do is retweet and make sure you follow us for a chance to win the Headmaster Dawn autographed Titans Return RC, the Hascon exclusive. It's pretty amazing. I am on Twitter at bkilby. That's pretty much it. Chris is on Twitter at ChrisRTXV. Matt is on Twitter at MELLL, 3 L's, VARR, 2 R's. Diecast, how do people get a hold of you?
You get a hold of me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast, and that's also where you can like the page and comment on the description on the thread with the photo of the Transformers Earth Wars patch for your chance to win that patch. That drawing will be Monday, September 25th, and that's courtesy of Transformers Earth Wars. And you can also see my reviews on YouTube at RFC Reviews.
Cool. Don?
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Rob.
I can be found on Twitter at Figure Reviewers and Flailthroughs. I'm also on YouTube at Flailthroughs. Got some big news the other day. There is going to be a Gundam Battle Operation 2 for the PlayStation 4. So,
and you thought people were just pranking you.
Yeah, I did, until I got like the fifth message about it. And so, yeah, that's coming in 2018. I will be covering it, obviously. And, of course, for toy-related videos, you can see everything XV and I do for T-Formers on YouTube at T-Formers TV.
And I'm going to be posting the first episode of a new project that I'm doing with Eric Crownover in the next couple of days, so be sure to be watching the YouTube channel for that.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you guys for being here. People out there, thank you for watching live, if you are. TFRadio.net/live every Wednesday starting around 8 p.m. Eastern Time is when show starts. Pre-show starts around 7:30 Eastern Time. We'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.